Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Contineros podcast. The podcast is sponsored by PortPro, the leading operating system for drayage carriers. Schedule a demo today at portpro.io. Episode 86, Cherie Pallotta.
Hello.
She is a customs broker. And chill out, guys. She's going to explain the difference in this type of brokerage. Brokering, mm-hmm. Customs brokering. All right.
Not a freight broker.
So, welcome. Tell us a little bit about yourself and what you do.
Yeah, sure. Thanks so much for having me. Again, my name is Cherie. I am a licensed customs broker. I have been for about 10 years now, actually. And I got into the industry because I was fresh out of college. I had just had my son and I hated the job that I had and I just wanted something better. And, you know, I wanted to be able to spend more time with my son and I was driving to this job. I hated every day, crying because I wanted to be with him and I was like, I've got to make a change. So I started looking online and I found this position where it was working for this tiny little customs brokerage, and the reason that I applied was because they said I could make my own hours, truly. So I was like, all right, well, let's give this a shot. And I had a little bit of experience with international trade because my father owns a plastic fabrication company. And so I worked for him throughout college, and he imported a lot of products from China. And so I kind of got to learn a little bit about the import process through there. And so I kind of, you know, when I went through the interview process, I was like, yeah, you know, I know a little bit about imports. And so I think that kind of got me in. And, you know, I started working there just kind of short, part-time. And the broker kind of took me under his wing. He showed me the ropes and it was just, I knew from there that's what I wanted to do. I loved it. And he kind of explained to me, you know, there's this test. If you take this test, it can change your career. All you have to do is take a test. You'll get licensed to be a broker and, you know, see what happens. Because, you know, you'll have a lot more opportunity if you become licensed. So I did that. I studied and, you know, I would work for him. I would go home to, you know, my son and put him to bed at night. And every night I would study. And, you know, I got lucky and I passed my first time. And it's been kind of history ever since. So for 10 years now, I've been a broker working for different companies. You know, I started in Florida and then moved here to California. You know, worked for a courier company for a very long time, still working with them, actually. Great company to work for, and been a brokerage manager for a long time as well. Also started my own company called Your Favorite Customs Broker back in 2020 because, you know, COVID hit. Wasn't really sure what was going to happen, and I just wanted to make sure that I was secure, my family was secure. So, you know, kind of started Your Favorite Customs Broker as a way to people, you know, a way to help people pass the customs broker exam. That's really how I started it. I wanted to create a course or, you know, some form of training to help people, you know, get into the industry because it's really hard to get into. Mm-hmm. So, you know, if you start, you start as what's called an entry writer and you file the entries with customs, but to have your license, it just creates a lot more opportunities. So I figured why not help people do that? And yeah, so that's how it kind of all started. And here I am now a few years later and it's really been great. It's great. I love it. I really do.
So this whole time you're saying that there's levels to it. Like there's some people that stay stuck at a lower level doing the same duties, but since they're unlicensed, that kind of determines that they make less.
Yeah. So I wouldn't say that they're stuck. You know, some people don't want to take the exam. You know, it's really difficult. It is difficult. And being an entry writer is an excellent position. You know, don't get me wrong. I have a team of them. They're incredible people. You know, it's a great career path. Absolutely. But I just saw taking an exam as a way to kind of further my opportunities, I guess. You know, my whole life goal has always been freedom. And I figured, hey, if all I have to do is pass a test to get a little bit more freedom, that's what I'm going to do. It's just, I could see why people wouldn't want to take the test. It's super hard. And only about 5% of people pass it on their first try. And so, you know, it's tough. It's tough. But that's why I felt like maybe if I created this company to help people, you know, try to pass and consult them and provide training for that, then, you know, maybe more people could have the opportunities that I've had.
That's interesting that we mentioned the exam, because that's yesterday I asked about the Instagram audience if they had any questions for a customs broker, and like about more than half thought you were a freight broker, so yeah. Those questions don't apply here.
Yeah, I get that a lot.
But one was like, how hard was the customs brokerage exam? And I know we're talking about it now, but can you go into a little more detail of like, what do you mean by it's hard?
Like, yeah, absolutely. I love talking about it because, like I said, it changed my life. So I'm happy to discuss it. And I get a lot of questions about it as well. So, you know, to be able to help is so important to me. So basically the test, they hold it 2 times every year. There's a bunch of different guidelines that you have, you know, you have to be a certain age, you have to be, you know, certain things that are all outlined on the customs website. But basically the exam, it's like 80 questions. You have, I think it's 4 hours to do it. You have to get a 75% to pass. And these questions are tough, man, you know, and it's because there's so much information. So they have what's called the Code of Federal Regulations, which you have to study, which are a ton of books. And then there's called the Harmonized Tariff Schedule, which is how we classify goods when people bring them into the United States.
I already failed. Like, what is that?
I mean, look, I didn't really know that much about it either, but I was really lucky to kind of have a mentor in that. And, you know, like I said, he took me under his wing. And so while I was studying all the information, I kind of had someone, you know, that I could bounce these questions off of. And so that's kind of what I was hoping to be able to be for other people. So actually the next test is coming up next week. So whoever's taking it, good luck to you guys. I wish you the best, and, you know, hopefully it goes well for everybody.
All right, let's go back up to question number 2 in more detail. What exactly does a customs broker do? And why is their role important to in international trade?
Yeah, that's a good question. It's funny because, you know, I've been doing this for so long, and, you know, I'll tell my friends, oh, yeah, I'm a customs broker, and nobody knows what that means, you know? Even my best friend still to this day, she's like, I know you're a customs broker. I do not know what that is. So how I try to explain it is basically, we are a middleman. You know, we are the middleman between U.S. Customs and Border Protection and importers. So we basically help businesses and individuals who are importing goods into the United States. We help them import it legally. So let's say you're a company and you're, you know, importing T-shirts, you know, from China. You have to have a customs broker. And so we basically will let customs know this cargo is coming in. We'll let the importer know how much duties they have to pay. And then we'll pay those duties to customs. And we'll make sure it's all done in a timely manner. We'll make sure your stuff doesn't get held at the port. And we're an intermediary is what I like to say. So always cargo. That's what we deal with. We don't deal with you know, customs and border protection. We don't deal with, you know, people coming through the border. It's cargo. That's all we deal with. So that's pretty much it.
The majority of it is containers, or does air freight go into that?
Yeah, both.
Everything coming from another country.
Pretty much. Anything coming into another country, I mean, from another country, yeah. You have to have a broker for. You know, there are instances, if you have a very small package, you can sometimes get it through customs by yourself as an individual, but you have to go to customs. They have to be willing to do it. Has to be a very low value, but a majority of the time, if you're bringing something in from another country, you have to have a customs broker for it.
So like on Alibaba, you feel like, oh, I'm going to get into like selling, reselling these phone cases, for example. when they're saying duties, like whoever you're talking to on the other side of the world, right? They're like, oh, plus duties. Like, how do you know they're not playing you? Is there a big, is there room there to get played if you don't know what you're doing with the duties?
I mean, I guess there is here. So, I mean, that's actually a really good question that you're asking, because I know a lot of people order things online. You know, that's huge. You don't know where your stuff is coming from. You're ordering from Amazon. You have no idea that this product is coming from China, most likely. The thing is that a lot of these companies, they use courier companies, you know, FedEx, DHL, UPS. And what those companies do is they consolidate all of these shipments. So if you order something and the value is under $800, you don't have to pay duties on it. So as long as the value of that shipment is low, then you don't really have to worry about duties. But it's once it becomes a little bit, you know, once it's a high value shipment, it's above $800, that's when duties come into play. That's when it's important to get a broker, because a broker is going to be reliable. You know, they're trustworthy. They're going to provide backup documents that say, this is how much you owe to customs. This is the paperwork showing you that. And then there's no way to really, you can't really scam an importer, you know, as a licensed broker. It's completely against what we do. You can't do it. And I do think that if you are the type of person that's importing things, keep it under $800, you know, and then you don't have to worry about paying duties. It makes it a lot easier. It kind of just all goes through this courier system. It gets cleared in a different way. And it's cheaper for you.
Like in batches, huh? Like,
yeah, exactly right. Exactly.
Is there like a formula to come up with the duties? Is it going to be by weight? Like once you pass $800 worth of merchandise, is it by for every 1,000 there's a certain percentage of duties, or how does it work?
Yeah, so it depends on the item. They have this book. It's humongous, okay? Humongous. And it lists every single thing that you can possibly imagine. So from textiles, whether it's clothing items, electronics, animals even, there is a certain code that is, you know, basically attached to each item, and that code will tell you how much in duties you have to pay. So it's totally based on the item. You know, some items are all the way, you're going to pay 26%, and then some items are duty free. And it also depends on the country that it's coming in from. We have free trade agreements with a lot of different countries. And then there's also countries where we have where you have to pay additional duties if it's coming from certain countries, China specifically. So it really depends. Again, that's why you want to have a broker, really why you need to have a broker, because it's so detailed and, you know, we're kind of the experts in figuring out how much you have to pay to customs.
Okay, before we move away from the duties word, not sure if that's a drastic difference. I mean, at the end of the day, it comes out of our pocket, right? So I don't think the name should matter, but is it another word for fee or tax or
what? Absolutely, yeah. Taxes and fees.
So that's like the terminology in this type of transaction.
Exactly right.
The duties.
Yeah, okay. It's basically what, it's a tax that you're paying to customs for importing a product into the U.S. instead of manufacturing it here in the U.S. That's what they're trying to do. They're trying to protect the trade. You know, they're trying to protect manufacturers in the United States. So if you have your items made in the United States, then you don't have to worry about paying taxes or duties on these things. As opposed to bringing from another country, we're trying to protect our manufacturers here in the United States.
So the duties is collected by that government? Is it like a government agency taking that money?
Yes, exactly. Okay. Right. Exactly.
From that country?
Yeah, well, it's actually from the importer. So we're, you know, if you're the importer bringing in those goods, you're technically paying the U.S. government, U.S., you know, Customs and Border Protection, through a customs broker, you're paying to bring in those products.
So those duties, that's like a imported thing then?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought it was the other country, like making it complicated to ship your stuff.
No, we're taxing. Oh, okay. Not we, the
broker. You want to betray us? Then here's the fee.
That's exactly what the government is doing.
Got it.
Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah. I learned something. Thank you.
Yeah, I'm glad. I'm glad.
So this, you kind of went over at the intro, how you got into it. But what did you want to be growing up? Did you have anything in mind?
I always wanted to be a business owner. Truly. You know, I grew up, I watched my dad have his own business. And I just, like I said, I loved the freedom of it. I always wanted to be my own boss. I never wanted other people to be able to tell me what to do. And I just like freedom. I like being able to do what I want when I want it. And that's kind of been my motivating factor for my entire life.
At what age do you feel, because I'm assuming this happened, it had to have happened, positive influence from your father. Do you recall a certain age where he started talking to you in a way that he knew you were starting to absorb this stuff, like give you advice or like, look, this represents this. So when you grow up, I want you to handle it like this, or, you know, does that question make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I think it was once I became an adult, you know, and I went off for college. You know, we were living in Florida at the time and I decided to move back here. I'm originally from Los Angeles and I decided, hey, I'm going to, you know, go to school out in California. His business is here. You know, let me work for you. Let me learn the ropes. And he did. And he guided me. And, you know, that it's been, you know, a life-changing thing for me, truly, because he kind of showed me the importance of, you know, minding your own business, as I say, you know, doing things for yourself, you know, and it's really changed the way I do everything in my life.
Do you have a favorite quote from your dad or like a piece of advice he ever gave you or gives you to this day?
Well, he passed away a couple of years ago.
I'm sorry.
Totally okay. Totally.
I did not know.
Yeah, so. Totally okay. But he said something to me that always stuck with me, and this is going to sound so silly, but he would always say to me, why go to the ass when you can go to the head? And I know that sounds silly, but
if you know, you know, I guess.
Yeah. Okay. Like, you know, like just, you don't waste your time, you know, go, you know, be as efficient as possible. Don't waste your time doing things, you know, like don't beat around the bush basically. And, kind of always stuck with me. Yeah.
That's interesting. I might steal that one.
Do it.
So can you explain the key steps and documents involved in the customs clearance process for imports?
Yeah, absolutely. I know it's a tongue twister, and I'm sure this is gonna be
go slow,
you know. Basically the documents that you need, the first thing that a customs broker is going to ask you for is a power of attorney. And that's just a document that customs requires, and it allows a broker to clear shipments on your behalf. And so once you have the power of attorney and supporting documents, so, you know, they want to see that you are the person signing that document. It has to be signed by a officer of the company. They're going to want to show identification and then a tax ID certificate to make sure that your information is valid. And then from there, typically, you know, they'll provide a commercial invoice and either an airway bill or a bill of lading. And that just helps us, you know, gather all the information that we need to provide to customs so that we can make sure that you, the importer, are paying the correct amount of duties.
You kind of made it sound simple, but and fast.
Yeah, well, we, you know,
you're protecting us from not having a headache from dealing with customs, pretty much.
Yeah. Okay. And, you know, we try to make it as easy as possible. We say, hey, listen, you know, we just need these specific documents. If you can provide them to us, we'll do everything else for you. And, it, you know, now it's a kind of a well-oiled machine for brokers that have been doing this for a long time because, you know, it's the same thing every time. We know exactly what we need. We know what we need to look for. And so if you are able to provide that ahead of time, then we can make sure that your shipments get cleared and so that you're not stuck at the port getting demurrage or, you know, any sort of fees or, you know, airlines, they also charge storage fees. So we want to make sure that we're getting your stuff through as quickly as possible so you don't have to pay storage charges or, you know, those demurrage charges at the port.
Give me a quick scenario of an airline charging a storage fee. And how do they even, I guess, in mid-transit, they just decide to store it, or because there was a holdup?
No, so, okay, so with airlines, you have a lot less time than you do for your typical container at the ocean port. You know, ocean port, I think they give 4 to 5 days of free time. So you have enough time to pull the container, you know, get your trucker and put, you know, make your appointments, whatever it is. The airline usually only gives one or two days. So let's say it arrives at the airline. Some of them only give 24 hours because they don't want to store your cargo in their facility. A lot of times, and
because of the disclaimer.
Listen, I'm not saying what the airlines are doing is right. I'm just saying they don't have the capacity in their warehouses to store your cargo. So, you know, as an importer, it's kind of your responsibility to make sure you have all of your ducks in a row before that shipment comes in, because otherwise you're going to be getting hit with these storage fees. So, you know, for an airline, let's say your shipment arrives and you haven't picked it up by the following day, they're going to start charging you storage. And typically they'll charge you based on the weight of the shipment. So I think it's a way to say, okay, your cargo is taking up this much space in my warehouse, and so you're going to have to pay me for that. Hmm. So, yeah, we want to make sure that the cargo is out of there before they start doing that.
Are there specific regulations or compliance issues that businesses often overlook when importing goods?
Yeah, there's a ton of them. There's so much that you need to know when you're importing products. So, you know, let's say you're trying to import food items. There's so many regulations that go into importing food products. And that's because they're regulated by other government agencies. So whenever you're importing stuff, you don't just have to worry about customs. You also have to worry about FDA, U.S. Department of Agriculture, all of these different entities that make sure that the goods entering into the United States are safe for, you know, people here. So a company can say, oh, yeah, I'm going to import, you know, all of this beef jerky or whatever it is. You need to make sure that you have everything in order. You have to make sure that you are registered with FDA, you know, that your manufacturers are registered, and that you have everything in place. So it really is dependent on the item. There's a lot of different regulations, especially for wood items, you know, steel products. You have to have a certain permit. The list can go on and on. It really just depends on what you're planning on importing. And, you know, like, people wouldn't realize FDA regulates so many things that you just would have no idea. You know, you think FDA, that's Food and Drug Administration. It's food, you know, you would think pharmaceuticals, but they're regulating so many other things, you know, laser pointers, you know, you would never think. But they just want to make sure that people in the United States are safe, you know, and I know what you're going to say.
I won't go there, but
yeah, no, I know that's what their ultimate goal is supposed to be. Oh. Yeah. I don't work for FDA. I totally understand what you're saying.
How nice of them.
Yeah, exactly. But, you know, I'm sure there are financial aspects involved as well, but we won't get into that today.
Who needs a customs broker? Is it optional to hire one? And what risk does a business run by doing it themselves? But
yeah, so
can we thug it out or no?
Yeah, no. You have to have a customs broker, especially if you're a business.
No way around it? Cut corners, save some cash?
No, because you're not going to get your shipment cleared and you're not going to be able to pick up your container or your shipment. That's the kind of the number one thing that when a container arrives or a shipment arrives to the airline, the airline or the terminal is going to make sure that it's cleared through customs first. And you can't clear it through customs unless you have a broker, especially if you are a business that's importing a large amount of products. So if you're filling a container worth of goods, or, you know, if you're sending it LCL and you have a small amount, but that's enough to be put into a container, I can almost guarantee you that the value of the shipment is going to be high enough to where you need a customs broker. Hmm. So, yeah, if you're importing your business, you're importing anything into the United States, the first thing you should absolutely do is call a customs broker. And like I said, the only time that customs is sometimes going to be lenient is if it's like a personal shipment. You know, let's say you left your stuff in another country and you're trying to bring it back in, sometimes, you know, customs will let you clear it that way by yourself without a broker.
I would think that would be even harder because now you're like some regular dude just importing some drugs.
Yeah, well,
under the
well, actually, that, you know, that's a good point that you bring up, because customs also, what they do is they can examine shipments. So anything that's coming in from another country, customs can say, okay, I want to place this on examination, and they will inspect the shipments. So if they feel like what you're doing is a little bit fishy, or it seems weird, or a lot of times if the weight doesn't match, let's say, you know, you're saying you're bringing in 100 t-shirts and then the weight is like thousands of kilos, you know, and then the dollar value is really low, customs is going to know, hey, something's fishy about this. So, you know, they're going to examine it and they'll open the packages. They'll either put them through x-rays or they'll open them themselves. And they're so smart. They know what they're looking for. You know, they know, like, let's say you're trying to bring in, you know, something that's supposedly a Disney product, but it's coming in from a certain country. They know where those Disney products are manufactured. So if you're saying you're bringing it in from another country, they'd already know immediately it's a trademark product. So they're smart, man. You know, they've been doing this a long time. You're not going to be able to get away with it. And listen.
For long.
Listen, exactly. That's right. I mean, you may get away with it once or twice, but they know what they're doing. So I would not recommend it.
Okay, I got to ask. I bet this is a very tempting ground when maybe you're offered to, like, I bet there's people like trying to recruit people on the inside, like, because you guys know how to get through stuff.
Yeah.
So is that, have you ever been approached or
no?
Do you guys get trained on that, like how to deal
with? Yeah. So like, listen, I think that.
Thank you for the tip. Don't label them Disney products if they're not from.
Exactly. Listen, I'm not trying to teach you how to smuggle things in, but
we're just having fun.
No, I totally get it. I personally have never had that happen to me. I think importers or the ones that are trying to smuggle things in are smart enough not to involve the broker. I think they're doing it more secretly. You know, they don't want us to know. We don't want to know, you know. I think that you know, obviously it happens. It happens a lot. We as the broker don't know.
And you're not liable.
Exactly. You know, like we're using the information you're telling us and we're presenting that information to customs. Like I said, we're not customs. We are in between, you know, the importer and customs. We are not actual customs. We're just telling them what you're telling us. And it's customs' job to determine if you're being truthful or not. Obviously, we do our due diligence. We make sure that, you know, all the documentation is there and that we have our proof of what you're saying. But there's no way for us as a broker to really know. And again, like importers aren't really coming up to us and saying, hey, help me smuggle this. If they're doing it, they're doing it secretly. You know, they don't want us to know. And the thing is we as brokers, we kind of have an obligation and we're not allowed to do that, you know, and that could be potential for losing our license. And for us, that's not worth it. You know, we don't, for us to help you smuggle something in is just not worth it to lose our license for it, you know. And if customs will catch on to that, to me, it's not worth it. I'm not getting involved in your nonsense. You know what I mean?
Keep your stuff, bro. I got that customs broker money. I don't need your shit.
Yeah, you know, I just don't, I'm not, I don't want that drama, you know.
Could make for a good Netflix series.
Absolutely could.
Could you share an interesting or challenging case you've worked on as a customs broker?
Yeah.
Perhaps highlighting the complexities of this job.
Yeah. I mean, every day is so different. It's, you kind of have to be a expert on everything in a way, because everything that you get is so different. Every day someone's bringing in a different type of cargo. And so you kind of have to know a little bit about a lot. And, you know, I've had shipments of, you know, human remains come in, which was kind of, you know, crazy. I've had live dogs come in. And, you know, I have had contraband come in before, you know, obviously unknowingly, but then you have to kind of deal with the repercussions because you're the broker. So, you know, live dogs, obviously we want to get them cleared as quickly as possible because we don't want them to be sitting in, we want the dogs okay, you know, and human remains, obviously that's going to be something that's super important to the family members. So we want to make sure we're doing everything with care. Contraband is always something that's, it happens. And, when something like that happens, we work with customs to destroy,
they bring you into it then despite.
Yeah, well, you know,
to destroy, because that sounds like you're still tied into it until it doesn't exist.
Yeah, so yeah, customs will tell you, you know, there's a couple different options when something comes into the United States. Either they'll release it, they'll let it go into the general trade of the public, they'll hold it for examination. If they examine it afterwards, they see it's fine, they release it. Sometimes they'll examine it and they're like, nope, this is not good. It's a trademark violation or it's, you know, a prohibited item. It needs to be destroyed. Usually the broker is the one involved in handling the destruction because the goods have to be held at what's called a bonded facility. So you have to make sure that you have a certain kind of like permit from customs to hold unreleased cargo in your warehouse. So usually, yeah, the broker will destroy cargo under customs supervision. It's a lot of different stuff. I always say like the most stressful stuff is when containers are at the port and you can't get them released, because you don't want people paying a ton of storage, not only just demurrage, but then per diem afterwards. And it's always stressful. I don't know if maybe I just care too much and I don't want importers paying a super large amount of money. So we want to make sure we get it done really quickly. But yeah, it's always something new every day.
What's the scenario if I brought in a container full of fake Gucci bags and customs got a hold of it? Does it end there or do they proceed to press charges or something? Am I off the hook? Because it's like, oh, the shipment didn't make it. Fuck it.
Yeah.
I lost that money.
Yeah.
It doesn't end there?
No. So I've only really dealt with small packages containing trademark goods. Mm-hmm. So because, it's such a small volume of products, customs will, let someone get away with just destroying the item. You lose your money, of course, but, it's destroyed. It's not really hurting anybody. The thing is with what I do, because it's a lot of times people ordering things online, they don't really know what they're buying. So you see like a Gucci bag online, you think it's a Gucci bag, but then customs examines it and they're like, this is not legitimate. They know. So they're not going to hurt the importer in that instance. Now, if you are a huge importer and you're importing in these trademark goods, they're going to penalize you, no doubt about it. They can do that with fines. They can make sure that you can't import anymore. They can take away what's called your bond. So like you have to have a bond anytime you bring something high value into the United States. They won't let you do that anymore. So
I'll have my cousin do it.
Yeah. I feel like this whole podcast is pretty much learning how to bring in things.
No, I'm just curious. These are my personal questions, guys.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, I'm not signing off on any of this. I don't know if I can say this, but I have seen,
You just got to add allegedly.
Exactly. I've seen importers allegedly bring in things like pill presses. We're having a huge issue with
the fentanyl.
Fentanyl. Yeah. That's a huge issue right now. And so, people bringing in things like pill presses is going to be a huge red flag. So, sometimes what customs will do is instead of having it, get delivered, they might deliver it to you, and then
follow through on that. Let you do your thing.
Exactly. And, obviously, I don't know what happens after the fact. I don't see any of what happens. And again, this is all allegedly they'll do this. Mm-hmm. So you don't want to do it. They're going to catch on. You might get away the first, time. But after a while, they know what they're doing. These are professionals. So I wouldn't risk it.
Wow, the things people do, huh? I'm sure there's a lot of people that get creative with all kinds of stuff, man.
Oh, absolutely.
What's the craziest story you have from this career, you know?
I don't know that anything is super crazy, obviously. You know, like, I'm not doing anything super crazy. It's
that you've seen in your experience.
Like, yeah, I mean, I've had to destroy bongs before.
What?
I know.
Bombs?
Bongs.
Bongs.
You know, not that that's super crazy or anything. And, you know, I think there's a lot of confusion because if you live in a state like California, you know, marijuana is legal here. Why wouldn't, you know, paraphernalia be legal? It's legal here. But because it's not federally legal, you can't import it into the United States. So even if the state that you live in and that you're importing into, it's legal, it doesn't mean that you can bring it in on a national level. So,
Because customs is on a national level.
Exactly right. Exactly right. Yeah. So that's a big thing. You know, if you are trying to import something that you think is legal here in your state, you got to be careful. If it's not nationally legal, then you can't do it.
Or ask your customs broker.
Exactly. Ask me and I'll tell you what you can do.
If you couldn't be a customs broker anymore, sorry. What supply chain related business would you get involved in and why?
I don't know that I would stay in international trade or in the supply chain industry. And here's why, I'll tell you.
Yeah, I was going to ask why. Why?
not that I don't love it. I do love it. But I'm also a yoga instructor. So on the side, I teach yoga and I love it so much. And I kind of do that right now as kind of a side gig hobby thing. But I love it so much. And so that's actually another thing I do part time. So if I wasn't doing, you know, if I wasn't a customs broker full time, then I would be a yoga teacher. And I love it so much. Right now, I'm teaching a weekly class to my daughter's second grade class. And so I teach them every week. And I've been teaching for about 10 years now. I've been teaching, I taught on vineyards for many years. And, you know, had a lot of different teaching jobs. I also do meditation classes, and I don't know if you've ever heard of sound baths, but
so
I do that as well. So yeah, you know, if you need a customs broker or a yoga instructor, let me know.
or to do like an inner child work.
Yeah. So that's probably what I would do. If I wasn't in this industry, it's a lot more peaceful and there's no stress involved, you know.
Yeah.
You know, I think I do it to kind of alleviate the fast paced lifestyle that, you know, being in this industry is. You know, I do that to balance it out, and it's the greatest. You don't ever leave a yoga class feeling stressed out. You know what I mean?
With the sound baths, like, do you know all your frequencies? Like, there's a lot of different bowls, right?
Or what? Yeah. Oh my gosh, look at you. So I have 7 bowls, and each one has each one is a different note. They each have different frequencies. And
what frequency is the universe?
I don't know. That's a good question. What do you think?
Okay.
I don't know.
I like that kind of stuff. I'm just like learning about that, but
Yeah,
I'm not like an instructor or nothing, but I've heard of it, and I did one a while back for the inner child work, but I'm just curious about all that stuff, like spiritual, the healing, the medicines, bufo, ayahuasca, all that, you know.
Yeah.
So it's like when you tap into that stuff, it's like a whole nother world.
But
not everyone believes in it, you know.
Yeah, well, you know, for me, it's. And I'm sure all the truckers listening to this are probably like, what on earth are they going on about right now? But
because they don't like you because you have the word broker in your name.
I'm not a freight broker, which I'll talk about in a little bit. But I'm not a freight broker. I love truckers. Truckers are such an important part of my day. But I'll get into that. Truckers, you know, maybe you should also get into yoga, too, and these sound baths, because I know you guys are sitting all day and it's so good for you to move your body and relieve stress. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, no, I'm totally into it. I don't know really so much about the spiritual aspect of it, but I do it because it feels good. You know, I always feel better afterwards. So, yeah.
Where can they sign up for sound bath? Well, at your favorite sound bath instructor.
Yeah, reach out to me at your favorite customs broker, and then I'll guide you to the right place.
Next question. How has technology such as digital platforms and automation affected the customs brokerage industry recently?
Yeah, that's actually such a good question. It's huge right now. Everything is going digital. There used to be a time where you had to bring all of your paper documents to customs. So you actually had to physically go over or have a runner that would bring it for you. And now things are completely all digital, which has made my life so much better, I'm relatively young in the industry. And so seeing things go electronic and digital is obviously my favorite. I love it. I've seen people, much older than me who've been in the industry much longer, and no offense to them in any way, but, sometimes it's hard to make changes like that.
Yeah.
When you're used to doing it one way and then you have this big change, it has been a huge change. Everything is now electronic. So if you don't really like that, that's a huge learning curve for you. But I personally love it. I think it's great. It gives you a lot more freedom, especially to be able to process those documents from anywhere. So as opposed to having to have a space really close to customs, now you can kind of be anywhere, really. And also, I think there's a lot of companies that are benefiting from this because they're a lot more on the cutting edge of the technology side. So I've been working with this company, they're called FastISF, and they're kind of like a tech startup developer, and they have kind of found out a way to use the documents to, kind of use almost an AI to use the documents to pull the information that you as a customs broker would need. So it takes out a lot of the, the data entry of it, where the computer's kind of just doing it for you in a way, which is amazing. So, huge shout out to FastISF if anybody is looking for a software vendor or, a brokerage company that can help them. It's such a good company to use. If you're just getting started in the industry, they're great, and they're kind of like on the cutting edge of that. So sorry to give a plug right there, but I'm always looking for the fastest, most efficient ways to do things. And if I find companies that are doing that, I love that. Same thing, Port Pro. I know you guys are kind of doing something similar on the, drayage side, but I love that. I'm always looking for people who are on the cutting edge. And
tech enabling the carriers, no matter the size, now they have the same tools that big carriers could have. It's like leveling the playing field.
Exactly right.
There's no excuse. The tools are there.
Exactly right. Exactly right.
And so on your end, with the technology, so it's like right there, like on the edge of like helpful but not intimidating you, where it's like taking your job.
Yeah, exactly.
So you're okay with that part, right?
Yeah, I mean,
do you think it could ever like spill over to?
No, I don't.
You still need like that cognitive, like the whole
absolutely
real.
You need a person. You need
a human.
You need a human body. I know. So everybody's so concerned about AI now, and in this industry, in this sense, I really like it. I think it's doing only things that are helpful to us, where we can spend more time doing the things that are really important as opposed to the data entry side of it. So if you can find a software company that's doing that, I don't see why you wouldn't. It's going to save you time. So you can work on, okay, let me make sure I'm classifying this correctly and make sure the importer is paying the very correct amount of duties, as opposed to me wasting my time typing in the shipper information and the manufacturer information. And, when you have AI that can do that for you and you just verify that the AI is working properly, it's a no-brainer for me.
What if you're working with the AI? Is you training it to take your job?
Well, that's the other thing is like, I don't think... maybe I'm wrong and delusional, but I don't think customs is ever going to allow, computers to act as the license broker.
I'm customs AI.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Your favorite software.
Your Disney products seem suspicious.
Exactly.
Are you sure you want to ship these?
Exactly right.
What advice would you give to businesses looking to choose a customs broker to help with their international, with their trade?
Yeah. I find someone you like, you know, find someone you like to work with, because this is someone that, you know, if you import regularly, this is someone you're going to be working closely with, you know. Find someone you like working with, someone that's reliable.
What are like the key points? Like, what should they ask? What should they look for?
Yeah, obviously cost is going to be a big thing, but I do think that most customs brokers have kind of similar rates. So, you know, if you're paying the same price for a broker that does all of your stuff ahead of time, is communicating to you where your shipment is, you know, these are the types of things you want. That's responsive, you know, answering their emails. It's so important. You know, you're not paying storage on things. That's a broker you can trust. You know, like if we're making sure your goods are out on time, we've got the trucker secured in time. You know, we make sure the trucker has enough time to make an appointment. Someone that's reliable, you know, and you'll know quickly, you know, if you're paying storage on a lot of your stuff, that's a problem. You know,
it is a result of a bad customs broker.
Well, I mean, not always.
It can be
not always. I mean, if a broker isn't getting documents on time, there's nothing we can do. Truly nothing we can do. You know, we can't make up the information. But if you have all of your stuff to your broker ahead of time and they're still not getting it out, I mean, that's kind of a problem. Of course, things happen and there's some things that you have no control over. But if it's consistently happening, then maybe go find another broker. Yeah.
Or maybe they won't even know. Excuse me.
Yeah.
They won't even know that they're getting played because they don't know that realm.
Yeah.
So maybe the broker can just give them some excuse where it like, that makes him not seem like the problem. And
that's true.
That would be unfortunate.
Yeah. But I think also a good broker educates their clients, you know, like we want to educate our clients. We want them to know, you know, how things work in the industry. We're not hiding that information from you because an educated importer is easier to work with. So we don't want to have to be begging for information or documents, or you know, we want you to know, hey, this is what I need to send every single time. And so if we teach that to them from the beginning, then, you know, we don't have that problem.
That's interesting because there's some industries where ideally they don't want their customer to know too much so that they keep using them.
Yeah, but
you know what I mean? Like create the demand from that.
Right. I mean, listen, you got to work with integrity, and that's a huge thing for me. And I think people are smart and they're going to learn, you know, hey, something's fishy about this. Something isn't right. I think people after a while, they're going to be like, something doesn't seem right. Mm-hmm. You know, so they're trying to, you know, pull this under the rug or whatever it is. You'll know. There's transparency in it. And if you have a transparent broker who's telling you straight up, hey, this is what it is, you'll trust them.
We touched on, I forgot, something about the pay.
Yeah.
So that reminds me to ask if it's okay with you. I don't need to know your salary or whatever, but just like a guideline of, for example, like truckers, we know how they get paid. Some get paid, you know, there's different variations by the load, by the mile, you know.
Yeah.
So what is the pay structure for customs brokers?
Yeah, so we kind of charge per service. So, you know, like we'll say, you know, there's a customs clearance fee. So to clear your cargo through customs, we charge a fee. You know, and that's generally anywhere from like $75 to $125. And that's per shipment, you know. So just for clearing it through customs, we charge our fee. Usually there's handling fees, like if we have to, you know, pay CFS facilities, if we have to pay their charges, or if we have to pay airline fees, you know, airlines always have an import service fee. If we have to pay those fees, you know, we'll charge it like a small handling fee for doing that service for you. So everything with us is service-based. You know, for us, you know, again, I'm not a freight broker. If I have to hire a trucker, what we'll do is, you know, we'll just base it off of the trucker's rate. And, you know, I'll just add a handling fee to that.
Get like reimbursed.
Yeah. So it's basically like me saying, hey, listen, I'm going to find a trucker for you. I'm going to provide all the documentation. I'm going to make sure it's available at the port. You know, I'll pay all of the port fees. And then, so I'm basically charging you for that service. So really it's not, I'm not like how freight brokers work. We're not like that. you know, and I can't really say much about freight brokers because I don't really know exactly how they work. But we're not taking like a huge chunk of their money. You know, with a customs brokers, usually we just ask, okay, what's your rate to move this? And then we'll charge that to the client plus a small handling fee. So
you don't got time to be like diving into the percentages of that.
And, no, I mean, sometimes, yeah. Like, you know, a lot of brokers will say, okay, we'll just charge a very small percentage on top of whatever the rate is, you know, because we want, of course, we want to make money too. Mm-hmm. You know, we're doing all of, obviously, we're not driving the cargo, but we're, you know, we're being the middleman in finding that trucker for you. And, you know, we also give them the option, hey, if you have a trucker that you want to use and you want to work directly with them, absolutely. It's just, you know, we like to use the truckers we know are reliable and that, you know, that's what we do, you know.
So in a way, you kind of do give work to truckers then?
Yeah, absolutely.
You could be pretty much a good plug.
Yeah.
If you have a customer that's always importing.
Absolutely. We are always looking for reliable truckers. And, you know, that's kind of been a difficult thing in my industry is just making sure that everything's in order for the truckers. And, you know, I know how hard it is for truckers and I know how much time they have to wait at the ports. And so we want to make sure that it's kind of a relationship that works for both of us, you know, and for me, it's like my truckers, it's kind of like a team thing. You know, this is like a team member for me. You know, I'm not trying to make money off of a trucker. I'm trying to just get the shipment delivered. And I just want to make sure it's good for you. It's good for me. And, you know, that's it.
So the trucker gives the rate and you just relay that to your customer. And if they're good with it, then you approve it.
Yeah. So usually we'll say, okay, you know, the trucking rate is this plus our handling fee, you know, for setting it up. And then, yeah. And then we just get it approved and that's it.
Is it safe to say that as a trucker, like with your own authority and stuff, you can likely make better money working with a customs broker than with a traditional freight broker?
Yeah, I mean, here's the thing is like, I don't really know exactly what freight brokers, like what the relationship with the freight broker and the trucker
is. Well, right now it sounds backwards. It sounds like the trucker will tell you what he wants. And then if it sounds good, you pay it.
Yeah.
And with the freight brokers, you know, this is not me. This is making this up. It's known that they sort of, you know, take it or leave it type of like.
I see. Yeah.
I know the source is X amount of dollars and I'm going to want to keep this much. So this is what's on the table for you.
I see. Yeah. Right? Yeah. So we do it kind of backwards of that. You know, we get the rate from you guys mm-hmm. and then we determine the rate to the client. So backwards.
So I think if you guys are listening, get yourself a good relationship with a
absolutely.
Customs broker, huh?
Absolutely. No, truly. Absolutely. And it's beneficial for us, too. You know, we need that. We need someone that's going to be able to pull it out of the port. You know, that's like I said, being a good customs broker is being able to get that cargo to the client on time. And if you are reliable and you can do that, then absolutely we want to work with you. You know, it's so important to us.
But you just help with the paperwork, right? Like they still have to have their concessions agreement. They still have to make their own appointment and pull it out with their own SCAT code and all that.
Absolutely. Yeah. And, you know, we're always even looking for bonded truckers too, because it's harder to find bonded truckers. So a bonded trucker is like somebody that has a special permit to pull cargo out of the port that hasn't been cleared through customs yet. So that's let's say cargo has to go to an exam site from port. We want to use a bonded trucker for that. And so we're always kind of scrambling to find bonded truckers that can do that.
Oh, so that's like a little niche right there that we could tap into. That's...
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. It's like a special permit. And I think you pay annually. As a trucker, I don't know exactly what the fee is, but and it kind of allows you to do a little bit more with the cargo.
I have a question from Instagram.
Yeah.
This guy, he just got his concession, so he's good to go. Like, mm-hmm. like he has his own truck, can make his own appointment. So his question was, what steps do we need to take if we have a direct customer? So that's all I got. So I'm assuming it's like someone he's going to import their goods or?
Yeah.
So
So, I mean, it depends. Like, if his customer is the importer, then the importer can tell the broker, hey, this is my trucker, this is who I want to use. And then the broker can just, you know, make sure the shipment is cleared and say, here's your delivery order. And then the trucker just can just charge the client directly, you know. And then a lot of times what the broker will do is we'll say, okay, we'll charge a $15 delivery order fee or something so minimal. Mm-hmm. But yeah, absolutely. I don't know exactly, you know, it really depends on who his client is, you know. But if it's an importer, yeah, just have the importer talk to the broker, and then we can kind of just all three work together.
So and make sure it goes it's through. Wise of him to make a connection with a customs broker.
Yeah.
And introduce his customer to the customs broker. Yeah. Is there a risk on his end for connecting you?
No, because like I mean, not me personally, I don't, you know, there might be brokers that have their own trucking, you know, teams. Mm-hmm. But, you know, so which probably like large, huge brokerages, they probably do.
Yeah.
But if you're working with like a customs house broker that has their own business, smaller, you know, smaller scale, they don't want that drama. You know what I mean? Like, we just want everything to be done as quickly as possible. So to us, it's not really, it's worth it. We'd rather have a better working relationship with these truckers, someone we can rely on. And if your client relies on you, we know that if we have another situation where we need a trucker, we'll probably use you because you're reliable, you know? So in my instance, no, you don't have to worry about that. And, but you know, maybe working with large, huge corporations, then maybe that might be a thing. But if you have a good relationship with your importer, because I see that a lot too, where we have importers and they're like, this is our trucker. So we clear it. And once we're done clearing it, it's kind of to the trucker then, you know, we don't really worry about anything else after that. So, you know, I've seen clients that they have their own truckers. They say, okay, this is who we're using. And we say, okay, it's cleared customs. Now you take it from here, you know?
So the importer can ultimately dictate, it's up to them. They override the customs broker's choice of transport.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. Because for us, it's like, you know, we can either find the customs broker. I mean, we can either find the trucker or you have one already. Okay. We just clear it through customs and we're done. So it's almost like, you know, it's less of a process for us. It's an easier process. We clear through customs, we do our main job, and then we're done, you know. Yeah, so either way, we do both. Either works for us.
Well, I hope that answers your question, young man.
If not, you can always reach out to me at your favorite customs broker.
I believe I'm all out of questions.
Yeah?
Wah, 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 wah. I had one, but I don't know if you answered it. It was about to import any regular person can import, or does it have to be a business entity?
Yeah, anybody can import something. So
even larger than the $800 amount?
Yeah. So you as an individual can import stuff into the United States too. The same regulations are required of you. But instead of using, you know, if you're a business owner, you have what's called a tax ID. It's like your EIN number that's assigned mm-hmm. by the government. Any business owner will know what that is. But if you're not a business owner, you can import using your social security number. Now, if you're a big time importer and you're importing a lot, I recommend forming a business. I mean, you're going to protect yourself that way. But if you're just importing once or twice, or, you know, you can absolutely do that. You just use your social security number instead of your EIN number.
Is there a difference in fee and duties?
No.
Based on what you are?
No difference. Because it's all based on the product. So it doesn't matter what kind of entity you are. It really strictly depends on the item that you're bringing in.
All right. Well, I hope I didn't miss any good questions, because sometimes it happens. Like once the guest leaves, it's like, damn, I should have asked this.
Yeah.
But is there anything that you would like to share that I may have missed that you really feel that you can share a gem, some fun facts or something that, you know, if before we wrap it up?
Yeah. I don't know that I have any gems, but, you know, one, I do want to say thank you for having me here. It's great to be able to talk with like-minded people, and I love what you're doing with the community. You know, when I first found you, I was like, oh, this is great. You know, like, it's good to know what's going on around here and, mm-hmm. you know, like to see what they're dealing with. You know, like, we don't really know a lot of times, you know, how important the truckers are. And, you know, obviously people in the industry know, but like normal everyday people don't realize how important truckers are to just everything in the United States. You know, a majority of everything comes from a trucker. You know, your Amazon shipments, you know, you order something on Amazon, you get it the next day. Where do you think that's coming from? You know, so I do want to shout that out. Truckers are so important. And, you know, my husband recently got a CDL, and so he sees how difficult it is. And
congrats.
Yeah.
Welcome.
Yeah.
Welcome.
You know, now that he's gotten it, I don't know that he wants to be in the industry at all. But
there's the timing, bro.
Yeah.
Hang in there.
Yeah. But also, we've got a lot of good friends, you know, that are in the industry, truckers, and I see them struggling. And I just, it's like, this is a huge part of this industry. And so take care of them. Take care of them. That's what I would say. And as far as people who, you know, are maybe are in the industry, not really sure what to do in the industry, you know, maybe think about getting your license as a customs broker. It changed my life. And, you know, the test is really hard. And you're going to have, you know, if it's something that you're like, okay, this is a really cool career path where you can get a lot of freedom, take that test. You know, there's a lot of companies that do courses, and taking a test that can change your whole career path is so worth it to me. And I'd say if you are taking the customs broker exam, one piece of advice that I would give you is it's not about knowing all of the information. So there's no way you're going to be able to study all of the information. It's so much information. It's an open book test. That's how much information it is.
Okay.
So don't waste your time studying as much information as you can. What I will always say is know where to find the information. So on my website, I list out, I break down the most tested parts of the brokerage exam. So let's say out of thousands and thousands of pages, there's very specific parts that customs usually tests on. Focus on those and know where to find those. You know, label your books, make sure you know where to find the information, make sure you know how to find it quickly. And then my other piece of advice would be to practice past exams, because the past exams are all posted on customs websites with all of the answers, and they tell you where to get the answers. So practice those. Pretend you're taking an actual exam, use the past exam, practice it over and over, and I think that's the reason why I passed on my first try.
And now the customs guys watching this are like, hey, we're going to switch it up now.
Listen, I'm always here to help. There's room for everybody. I, you know, I'm never going to hold back information if it's going to help someone. So yeah.
Well, they restructured the questions now because you spilled the beans.
It's still really hard. So.
Just kidding.
Yeah, so good
luck. How much are the fees for that test? Did you mention that?
I don't know what they are now. I took it 10 years ago. I think it's probably a couple hundred dollars. Not only do you have to pay to take the test, but then if you do pass, then you have to pay to get your license and also your permit. Each one has a different fee, couple hundred dollars for each one. And then you have to pay annually as well.
How many attempts do you get with that payment?
So I think, well, okay. So with the one payment, you take the test, you don't pass, you can take it again, but you have to pay again.
Is there a certain time frame? The same day? You can be like, I want another test.
No. So they test twice a year.
Oh, yes.
Once in April and then once in October. So if you don't pass the one in April, you got to wait till October to take it again. I don't think they say, like, you can only take the test three times. I think you can take it as many times as you need, but it's only twice a year. So you got to wait a long time, and then you have to pay all over again to be able to take it.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Thank you so much. So where can they reach you?
Yeah. So I'm on Instagram at your favorite customs broker. You can also email me at Cherie. It's Cherie at your favorite customs broker. And I'm always happy to respond.
All right. I hope you guys learned some stuff. I sure did. And forgive me if I didn't ask any more questions. I'm all out of questions. Look.
You can always reach out to me if you have more.
That's right. So thank you so much for coming by, and we'll see you guys on the next one. Peace.
Bye.